Lord Jesus, as we go deeper into this new year, 2019, help us to use our time in the way that you desire us to use it, and this day to understand what it means to live in love for you and for one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 10:27, as we heard a little bit ago, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're in a two-part series focusing on starting 2019 the right way. And we're looking into how Jesus spent his time. And we see in Luke chapter 2, at the age of 12, there's one sentence that tells us a lot. From the age of 12 to the age of 30, how did Jesus spend time? And it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Four things there. He was taking time to focus on growing in wisdom, taking time to grow in his character. And today we're going to talk about favor with God and with people, in other words, love for God and love for people. And I want to just kind of do a quick review. Last week, we talked about focusing on growing in wisdom. And wisdom is taking the Word of God and living it out in our lives. And it's just really important for us to realize that there's knowledge, which is in the mind, there's understanding, which is in the heart, but wisdom is taking God's Word and living it, and that's the direction He wants us to be growing in our lives. And we talked about as well the importance of having relationships in our lives that are helping us to grow in that direction of wisdom as well. Obviously, spending time directly with God in prayer and in His Word, but also having human relationships. We talked about Paul's, Barnabas's, and Timothy's. And Paul's are those people that are further along in their faith and their development wisdom than we are, that help us to grow a higher level. Can we be people like that in our lives? And Barnabas is our people that are on the same level as us. You know, people that just can be very honest with you and call you out if you're going in a wrong path. You hold each other accountable. And then there's Timothy's, those that are you are the Paul to. They're coming along in their faith, and you're helping them to grow in wisdom. And so Paul's and Barnabas's and Timothy's. And we talked about character. That our character is formed to a great extent by the way that we think. You think about something, you're going to act on it. Something you do over and over again becomes a habit. A habit that becomes ingrained forms your character. And so if you want to change any character flaws, you got to change the way you what? The way you think. And there's a verse in the Bible we talked about last week from 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, I take every thought and make it obedient to the Word of God. To begin to think scripturally. To be in God's Word, the point where His Word is filling us to overflowing, that we're actually thinking scripturally. That our character is formed by the Word of God. And it's so important for us to spend time in God's Word. And Jesus gives us that command to become disciples, and part of that is to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, which means to learn the entire Scriptures. And that's an ongoing process in life. In fact, this year at St. Mark, we're going to be focusing a lot, even more so on spiritual growth. We're going to, you know, obviously we're going through the process of starting more small groups. We encourage you to be in a small group. And there'll be other opportunities over the course of the year even with that. We are going to be putting stuff on our website, materials, resources to help people grow at all levels of their faith journey. Some of you are reading through the Bible in a year, and there's some resources coming online. We're hoping to get them online sooner. They're coming online this afternoon. There's going to be worksheets that go along with your weekly readings, as well as a video that's going to summarize what you read for that week. There's a Bible study as well, an online Bible study if you want to become a part of that. This evening at 5:30, we have a 5:30 worship service. We're going to starting a study on the Gospel of Luke. And there's all kinds of other opportunities as well, but find something or some things that work for you to spend time growing in the Word of God. And today, our focus is on how Jesus grew in favor with God and people. Another phrase of that could be in love for God and for people. And I want to share with you a definition. What is love? And we see that the Greek word for love is the word agape. And it was a new word added to the Greek language when Jesus came on the scene, because it was a different kind of love. And the best definition I've seen is from 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Now, there could be about 15 sermons from this one section. I just want to read it. I want you to think about what it says. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I'm going to stop there for now. What an amazing, incredible definition of love. I don't think Webster could ever even come close to a definition that good. Definition that comes from God's word, from God himself to us. It's interesting where this section is located. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Chapters 12 and 14 talk about what are 1 Corinthians? Anybody know? Spiritual gifts. Okay? I call it like a sandwich, okay? That the church is meant to be the body of Christ. And God is love, and so the church is meant to be love. And every one of us has certain spiritual gifts we've been given that when we use them, collectively we experience God's love, and collectively that love begins to go further out into the community. I want to share a story with you that occurred about 4 years ago at this church, actually, and I was a pastor at Shepherd of the Desert. I had a dear friend named Chuck who he had cancer. And, you know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Pastor Mike, he has a number of spiritual gifts. One is a special gift of intercession, and I was aware of that. And so I brought my friend Chuck and his wife here to worship one Sunday when it was a Sunday I was off from Shepherd of the Desert. And between services, Pastor Mike and some of the elders prayed over my friend and his wife, and my hands were on them. And while they were praying, I felt the presence of God in this powerful way. I'm not sure if you've ever felt that before. It was this love that just radiated through me. And I was wondering if anybody else was feeling it. And I look at my friend Chuck, who was an engineer, and his wife, and they're bawling. And Chuck, you know, he's a very practical kind of guy, you know, scientific background. And he said, I felt something I've never experienced in my life, a love that just goes beyond the wildest dream I could ever experience. I don't know what's going to happen to me, he said, but this one thing I do know. I know God is with me. And everything's going to work out. And his wife felt the same way. And they carried that peace with them for the last 3 years of his life. And even at the very end, we had conversations about that experience of that love that we experienced here in this sanctuary. You know, God is love. He's a source of love, and he wants his love to fill us up to overflowing, that love to radiate to one another and out to this world. Another question for you here. Where does love come from? This is from 1 John 4:7-12, and you know, the Bible is so full of sections that talk about this love. Think about these words. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We see here there's two types of relationship: the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with those around us. And that what God wants is that love to keep pouring into us, that in turn it goes out. In the next verse from John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, as someone laid down their life for a friend. How did Jesus die? He died on what? A cross. And think of that cross. You got the vertical part, you got the horizontal part. You think in Jesus' life, all the time he spent going off by himself to talk and be with his Father. And that perfect love inside of him. And so you got the vertical part and then the horizontal part of the cross reminded to us of this horizontal relationship with one another. If we try to love with our own power, it's limited. But God's power is what? Unlimited. And the more that we grow in our faith, the more we're filled with love. And the more that love is going to flow horizontally to those around us. And that's what God calls upon us to do individually and collectively as his church. You know, it says we're to love God in four different ways. And how do we love him? With our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Think about that. What does that mean? To love God emotionally, okay? And you look in the Bible, you look at all these verses that talk about, you know, Jesus says, don't worry, don't be fearful, don't live in anxiety. Because he wants us to live how? In love. Isn't that better than living in fear and anxiety and worry? And from love flows to other things. In fact, you think about 1 Corinthians 13, you think of the fruit of the Spirit. It's almost like most of the fruit of the Spirit are included in that definition. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the emotions that God wants us to be living out in our lives. What a blessing it is, the more that we can live that way. To love God emotionally. To love God spiritually with our soul. To love him, and ultimately that he's the center, the focus of our lives. In fact, you know, in the Old Testament, we see the Ten Commandments. And Jesus also talked about those Ten Commandments too. To love God, the first three, he kind of lay that out. You shall have no other gods before me. That God is more important than anything else in our life. Spiritually, everything else. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Which means honor God in what you say and what you do. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, which means, you know, worship like you're doing right now, but take a day to maybe shut your phones off, your computers, and recalibrate your lives to focus on Jesus, to keep your lives on the right course. To love him with our emotions, love him spiritually and worship him, but also love him with our mind. Love him in the way we think. Our thoughts are so important. And so often, you know, the thoughts we have, people can't see those thoughts, but God knows what they are in our head. To think the right way, to think scripturally, to love him with our thought process, to love him with our whole being, with our strength, with every aspect of who we are, complete and total surrender. Now imagine that your body's like a house. And there are many rooms in the house. And sometimes as human beings, our temptation is, okay, I'm going to give these rooms to God, okay? These other rooms I'm going to kind of keep to myself. Guess what? Those rooms you keep to yourself come back and bite, okay? God wants us to surrender what? Every single room, so to speak, inside of us. And, you know, I'm not sure if one of your resolutions for 2019 is to have a house cleaning, okay? I want to encourage us to have a spiritual house cleaning inside of ourselves. To let go of everything inside, to pour ourselves out, to make room for God's love to fill us up. So often we have junk in there that's blocking God from filling us with the love he wants to fill us with. To empty ourselves out so he can fill us with his love and to keep focusing on him and taking more time to do that. And as that love grows, it ties into the horizontal, which is to love our neighbor. I've got a question here, and the question is, how do you love your neighbor? Or how do we love our neighbors? And one of the most incredible parables in the Bible is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And rather than read that to you, I'm going to tell the story to you. What happened was there was this lawyer that came to Jesus, and he's trying to justify himself and talking about how can he be saved. And Jesus said, what's the summary of the law? And the guy knew to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, well, you got that right. Do this and you'll live. But then the guy was trying to justify himself as far as his neighbor, who the neighbor is. And then Jesus goes in this parable. He goes, there's this man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's a very windy, difficult road. And to be honest with you, this guy was not smart to do that road by himself because it was called the Road of Thieves. And along the way, the robbers come, they beat him up, they leave him on the road half dead. And there he is, laying in the road. And a priest comes walking by. Surely this guy, knowing the law and how to serve and love, what does he do? He goes by on the other side. Doesn't even help the guy on the side of the road. Why? I don't know. Maybe he's thinking, you know what, I got a busy schedule here. Or he might be thinking, according to the Jewish law, that if I touch him and he dies, I'm ceremonially unclean for 7 days and I can't work for 7 days. But he justifies whatever is going on in his mind. And then a Levite, an expert in the law, a teacher of the law, comes by, sees a guy on the side of the road, and what does he do? Walks by on the other side. Doesn't get involved. And then Jesus goes, but a Samaritan. Kind of like just a Samaritan. He should be the villain. The Jewish people, they hated the Samaritans. They couldn't stand them. But the villain becomes what? The hero. He becomes a hero. And he goes over to the man, a complete stranger. And he bandages up his wounds and he helps him. He puts him on his animal, most like a donkey or a mule, and takes him to an inn. And he takes care of the guy there for a while. And then he has to go and obviously do some business or something he has to tend to. But he says, you know, I'm going to leave for a little bit. But when I come back, whatever expenses there are, I'm going to cover all the expenses for this guy. And Jesus turns to the lawyer, which one is the neighbor? And then the guy answers correctly, and Jesus says, now go and do likewise. And so they answer the question, who is my neighbor? What is the answer? Everyone. Okay? Everyone. When you were driving to church today, maybe a person cut you off in front of you. Still your neighbor. Supposed to love them. People that treat you badly, we're still called upon to love them. We're called to love everybody. We talked about last week at the same time that some people we may need to have boundaries with, but still, we're to love everybody. Can hate sin, but love the sinner. And I'll be very honest. The success of our congregation in the future will be in direct proportion to how much we love God and one another. But realizing our love comes from God. We got to keep being fed with that love, and that love begins to pour out. I want to share with you a story that happened probably about 9 years ago. And the situation was, at the time, we were renting a house. And 1 month, we were late in our payment. I had to run it to the office, you know, where the company, you know, was, where we, you know, the oversaw the house. And they had a gal that was assigned to oversee our house, and I gave her the check only to find out that she was a Missouri Synod Lutheran who had left her church. Some terrible things happened at her church, and she was no longer going to church. And so from that point on, every month I intentionally was late with my check just to have the opportunity to help her and talk to her. And I found out, you know, she was a grandmother, and she was raising her grandkids because her daughter was on drugs and couldn't do it. And so she and her husband, you know, raised their grandkids. They both worked for this management company, and what happened was the Great Recession hit, and they both lost their jobs. And I find out that her husband has cancer, and they are unable to pay their bills, unable to pay their rent. And I was able to find somebody who was able to cover the cost of their rent, that paid their rent every month, and we provide them food and the essential things they needed. And time went by, and you know, the gal and her grandkids were coming to church, but her husband didn't go to church. He was an unbeliever. And she asked one day, would you be willing to talk to my friend Chuck, another Chuck, the same name as the guy earlier in the sermon? And I said, sure. And so they came to my office. He walked in my room, and he looked about 90 pounds, just frail. This cancer is ravishing his body. And he sat down with his wife in my office, and we were talking, and he says, Pastor John, I want to thank you and your church for the love you're showing to me and my family. It means a lot to us. But I suppose you want to tell me that your God is a God of love. How can your God be a God of love? Because I'm dying. I'm not going to see my grandkids graduate from high school. I'm not going to see my grandkids get married. I'm not going to be there for my wife to help her. How can your God be a God of love? Anybody here have an idea how you can answer that one? What do you say in that situation? The theologian I am, I was totally dumb. I didn't know what to say. Except I just kind of went like this. I just kind of turned to God. God. I said, but actually, because God, and at that point, I felt, and this, okay, first of all, before I go on, can God do miracles? Yes or no? I mean, one of the greatest miracles right now in this room, there's no sin. It's all gone because of Jesus. That's the most incredible miracle. I said, because God, and at that point, I felt this presence come over me. And a presence like my friend Chuck felt, you know, when he in the sanctuary. But it's a love that it's amazing. I'm not sure if you ever had this opportunity. And it made me think, okay, this is what heaven's going to be like. This is awesome. Because God loves, and I went, you. And when I said that, it just like shot, his love hit both of them across the room. And I'm looking at them, and they're bawling. They're just crying. And the guy's saying, he loves me. He loves me. And that day, he became a believer in Jesus. And I saw him over the next 3 months, a number of times before he passed. And the very last time I talked to him, it was a few days before he passed away. The last thing he said to me is, he loves me. He loves me. And what I realized is that it's all God. But in the midst of a busy schedule, I got involved in some people's lives. And sometimes I'm guilty of this like anybody else. Life gets busy. And sometimes busy with things that really aren't all that important. Last week I mentioned the average American spends 11 hours a day looking at a screen. Either a computer, iPhone, TV. 11 hours a day. Here's my challenge for all of us here. Less time on screen, more time with who? With people. And with God. Anybody with me? That's what I want to do. I want to become more like Jesus, who grew in wisdom and character and a love for God and love for people. We see there a great way to spend time. And I pray in this new year that we make a commitment to spend more time like Jesus. And one thing I can tell you right now is God is love. And his love is pouring down. It's raining on us all the time. And the only person that can stop that love from hitting us is who? Ourselves. So often we've got that umbrella up there. Take it away. Let his love fill us to overflowing. And may God grant that we grow in love for him who first loved us. And love for one another. And that the answer to that question that anybody that we come across that asks, okay, they were to be asked who we love the most, they know we love God. And they also know that we love people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to spend time wisely. We thank you, Jesus, for showing us the example of growing in wisdom and stature and favor. And love for you and others. Lord, I pray that we follow the same steps. Sometimes we don't use time the way we should, but Lord, we pray this day, we pray this year, is a year that we are truly growing in love for you, love for others, but also in wisdom and in character. In Jesus' name, amen.